Welcome back to NFL Schwitz, Week 3. I'm here with Vic at VWeb and Jack at Jack Not John. And starting today, we're going to run through some headlines, beginning with some injured quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger out for the year after opting for elbow surgery at 37. A lot of injuries. Do we think that this is the end of Big Ben, Jack? We'll start with you.
I mean, if it were up to Big Ben, he'd be right back out there. I know the Steelers put this decision in the hands of the doctors. I think he's got like a long list of injuries, and this might be the time. There's a reason they drafted Mason Rudolph. I believe that was 2018, and we remember Big Ben's reaction. I think it might be it. I don't see him taking a back seat either. He strikes me as like the mellow of football. So if he's not starting, he's done.
It's also very different that taking a back seat as a quarterback, but your career is over. If you're Ben Roethlisberger is never going to be a backup quarterback. He'll retire.
He'd retire, I'm saying. Yes. But Eli is now back. It's not like...
Because it's mid-year. Eli will retire at the end of the year. I would assume. But we'll get to Eli later.
I do think the next couple weeks say a lot, though. If Mason Rudolph is just garbage, then I think you bring Big Ben in, then maybe a young free agent or a new pick, and let Ben groom him for 1 year. So I do think it's kind of the ball's in Mason Rudolph's court right now, and I think he's better than we think. He was pretty good last week. He had 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. So, yeah, my prediction is this is the end of the Big Ben era in, what is it, Steel City? City of Steel?
Steel City. Well, they call it the Steel Curtain, that defense in the 80s. You know, Ben Roethlisberger brought glory back to the city of Pittsburgh, a team that has won a bevy of Super Bowls in the past. And we all remember his rookie season. He goes 15-0. I still to this day don't remember the quarterback that got injured that allowed him to go in. Everybody remembers Charlie Whitehurst. Drew Bledsoe. It was not Charlie. Charlie Whitehurst wasn't even putting on a jock strap for Clemson back then. You know, We talk about the injuries. I mean, this is a guy that at one point he rode a motorcycle without a helmet, got injured, always playing through something else, whether it's a hip, a knee. It seemed like nothing would ever bring him down. And to make this decision to have surgery on your elbow, which puts you out for the year, you know, he's not exactly on the Tom Brady diet. I mean, he doesn't look like he's in the best shape.
But he's always
Chunky. He's always been chunky. I think the neck got a little wider this year.
Him and Hunter Henry, they take up the whole profile.
I don't know if this is necessarily it. And, you know, it's funny you brought up the Mason Rudolph part. I would almost say that, you know, if Mason Rudolph is, you know, Tom Brady or whoever is next in line to be the next guy that comes in for an injured starting quarterback, I don't know. I guess it sort of hinges on Mason's performance. We don't really know what we're going to get. We saw a little bit of it against Seattle. He had 2 touchdowns. Vance McDonald looked kind of good. I really don't know. I like to think they sort of owe it to him if he wants to come back after all this, regardless of what happens to
the
Mason
Rudolph. 0-2.
I'm saying, give him – I think he would be entitled to the shot. I don't know if he'd necessarily be Ben – you know, your locker's waiting for you. You're still QB1 whenever you're ready to come back.
Yeah, but then you get into a situation with Eli. I think that there are 2 things to consider here. One, to your point, to both of your points, I personally think he's done, but if he were to come back, it would only be a detriment to the Steelers, and I think that he's too good of a guy and proven too good of a teammate to let Mason Rudolph have a fucking amazing year and then come in and be like, oh no, I want my job back. Like, I don't see that happening. I saw so much besides the physical attributes of Mason Rudolph. That guy was like pumping his fists. Like, he looked really, really into it. Obviously, your first NFL game, you should be, but they only lost by 2 to a very good Seattle defense. He came in, looked really good. And to your point, Vic, of getting back to the old days, Steel Curtain, it seems like they are now, with the trade for Fitzpatrick, they are leaning on that defense. Rudolph's going to need to do less. Connor's got to be healthy, but I think that this team can still find a way to be decent. I think starting 0-2 in this division is tough. It's tough to make the playoffs.
And they just got rid of the first-round pick.
Yeah, Ravens are out and running, but I think that if they have a good enough year, it solidifies Mason Rudolph as their quarterback, and I do think that there's no way Ben Roethlisberger plays for another team.
There is something to be said also. I mean, the Jets are trying to do this, but like having a young core grow together, and if Mason Rudolph proves to be that guy the rest of the season, you have him, Connor, Washington, Juju Smith-Schuster, Minka Fitzpatrick. I just think like there's something to be said about growing a young team together. And you did call Big Ben a great team. We don't know because, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's not there anymore. We're now seeing Antonio Brown's an absolute psycho, but he had a lot of things to say about Big Ben as a teammate. So, I mean, do we really want this old, washed-up quarterback surrounded by these young guys who are on the up? So I think we all agree that it's Mason Rudolph's job to lose right now.
No, I actually liked you brought up the teammate thing. I think what more exemplifies that is that he has had basically the same coach, and I only say that because Bill Cowher retired. Right, Bill Cowher coached in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Bill Cowher retired. He wasn't fired. He wasn't let go. The team wasn't doing well. And in comes Mike Tomlin, and we haven't seen another face on that Steelers sideline. So I think that's sort of the thing that I would sort of build on when you talk about teammate. I think the coach-quarterback relationship is not far more important, but just as if more.
That's a good point.
So talking about a leader in the locker room, I mean, this is a guy who was never afraid to take hits. Always ran it out. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday, the Jets had one chance to stop him on third down, AFC Championship. They just couldn't do it. You literally could not bring this guy down.
Kind of like Monday night.
Kind of like, not even close to Monday night.
That was fun, right? What a game.
I would say it would take a lot for him. It would have to be something crazy, like he couldn't throw the ball the same way to really knock him out of the game.
I think he's already
looking at his recovery time. Can he make training camp next year?
I mean, he looks fat as fuck.
But he's always been a big guy.
But he's so much bigger.
That was always the thing.
Come back as a fullback.
100%.
Felipe Franks and Mike Tolbert, the new look fullbacks.
That was always his thing. Like, no matter how big or out of shape
fat,
he looked,
still nimble.
He could always make the play.
Always. Another quarterback that can seemingly always make the play, Drew Brees. Out for 6 weeks, torn ligament in his thumb. At age 40, will Brees be the same after this? Let me take this one first. I have no doubt that Drew Brees will be totally fine. If there is one guy that is as close to a Tom Brady, it is Drew Brees. This guy does not age. A ligament in your thumb is something that people deal with. Like, it's a pretty common football injury. Yeah. Medicine is at a point where I'm sure he'll be back before 6 weeks.
Doctor Soffer's back.
Medicine. Talking about medicine. I think Brees will be totally fine. I'm worried that the Saints will not be
fine.
Yeah,
that's the question I would.
Because Teddy Bridgewater, granted it was against the Rams, he did not look very good. And I'm sure that they're wishing that they didn't trade Kamara because they could really use that dual trade Ingram.
Oh.
I'm sure that they could use both Ingram and Kamara in the backfield now and
Latavius
sort of mix things
Murray's
up. He's good. He's a different type of back.
Definitely. He's huge.
Massive.
Fullback.
6'6" or something like that. He's enormous. But so I think Brees will be fine. I don't know if the Saints will be fine this year, given how long it'll take for him to get back. But I think he'll be fine.
Apparently, it's not that extensive of a recovery. I heard Dan Orlovsky, and he said some guys could come back in like a month, 3 to 4 weeks.
I'm right about medicine.
No. But also, it's about the body, and I feel like Drew Brees. I mean, he looks as sharp as ever at 40. Well, last year was his age 39 season. I mean, I agree. I think he's going to come back. I just think he just can't hold a football right now, and as we saw on the sideline, and that's the only thing that's stopping him. I think once he could hold the football, he'll be fine. But I'm concerned about the Saints. We'll get more into this later, but I'm concerned because right now, the Falcons are looking decent. The Bucs are beating down on the Panthers. I mean, this felt like
they play the Giants this week, so watch out for the Bucs.
So this felt like kind of the Saints' division to lose, and they might have just blown that chance without Drew Brees for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be fine. It's funny, we go from one guy who's always banged up and plays through to a guy where you don't really hear. I mean, I can't even recall one serious injury that Drew Brees has really ever had, whether it was on the Chargers or whether it was on the Saints.
Nice Chargers.
I like to drop this a lot. This is a former Navy SEAL we're talking about here. This is a guy who will do every single thing he can to get back on the field.
Drew Brees is a former Navy SEAL?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
100%.
When was he in the
100%.
SEALs?
100%. It's like a huge thing. When he used to lead that chant with the Saints in the sun, and that was like something he used to do.
You sure you're not thinking of Taysom Hill?
No,
they
kind of
look alike sometimes.
No.
Drew Brees doesn't look like a SEAL.
I mean,
Johnny, is he a Navy SEAL?
He was.
By the way, you're telling me he's a Navy SEAL by his chance?
Look, no, like that was just one thing he used to do. I don't need to look it up. I don't need to back it up. I know what I'm talking about. you guys get. Maybe it wasn't the right troop I'm talking about. Maybe it wasn't troop 17. It might have been 34.
What is he, a cat?
This guy has served. This guy has served his time. He will get back out there. And here's the thing. This injury, and it's the UCL. This is the ligament that connects the thumb to another bone. Apparently, this is the most common injury among quarterbacks. And this actually,
said that while pulling that out of my hands.
Right. No. When this happens, like running backs and wide receivers, it's like a tape up job. Maybe take a painkiller and get back out there. With a quarterback, it's different because he's throwing the ball every time. I think we will see him back out there. I'm not sure this. You know, it's funny. I think last week we joked about how everyone's timetable is 4 to 6. This is like a hard 6 weeks. I don't know if they're trying to be conservative. I don't really know the risks of it. I don't know how long it takes. But if they're saying 6 weeks, you know, I think we'll see the same Breeze back out there in no time.
All I know is that the Saints are now a 25-1 favorite.
And what was it before? 8-1 or something?
Super Bowl.
I think it was 8-1.
No, 25-1 is some pretty nice odds on.
Still better than Luke Falk's Jets.
Everybody's better than Luke Falk's Jets.
But Luke Falk's Jets, I think, might be better than Trevor Siemian's Jets.
The Jets are in a lot of trouble. And why are the Jets in a lot of trouble? Because Sam Darnold made out with a lot of girls and has mono.
In Murray Hill.
And is out until week 5.
At least week 5.
Yeah, by the way, that's so funny. That timetable should be week 5 to week 12.
Yeah,
like, mono could be, who the hell knows? Like, that kid in the 11th grade was out with mono for 4 months.
Yeah, I got it bad.
Did you have mono?
I did.
Ugh.
I got it kind of
you
bad.
You whore!
I got it kind of bad.
But how should the Jets prepare Luke Falk for his first career start against the Pats? I will take this. You dead, kid! They're a 22.5-point favorite. I mean, it's just the Jets are not coming even close in this game. They should really, they should do exactly what they did last week, which is give the ball to Le'Veon and get out of the way.
Literally get out of the way. Don't block. Let the guy run right into the other team.
Le'Veon Bell had 18 fantasy points with no touchdown.
Nice.
He did
and
all
with
he
no
could.
Help, with no blockers.
He was their number one receiver, number one rusher.
There was a point where we had negative 14 passing yards.
It was one of,
it was sad.
It was a terrible game.
It was sad.
Jack, thoughts on how Falk prepares for that really scary game in Foxborough?
I actually think it's not that bad of a situation. There's absolutely zero pressure on this kid. The Jets stink. All of us are saying the season's in the toilet. We can't win without Darnold. Now you got apparently the quarterback whisperer, Adam Gase, and you're the starting quarterback. You have a whole week to prepare. Are you going to beat the Pats? No. But, you got nothing to lose. Trevor Siemian's dead. Sam Darnold's got mono. It's kind of carefree football. They just picked up some old backup from the Dolphins when Gase was there. I think he's got to treat it as this is a tryout. And, yeah, he's going against a scary defense and the greatest quarterback of all time. But,
And the greatest receiving core of all time.
But, he's not good.
There's no pressure on him.
No pressure. Get out there, sling the ball, hand it to Le'Veon Bell.
But the question is, how do they prepare him? They can't prepare him. There's no chance they win that game.
Is it how do they prepare him or how does he prepare?
I think that
Adam Gase is apparently a quarterback guru.
Yes.
Is he going to revive?
Is he?
Is he going to revive Luke Falk into the next coming of Tom Brady? Probably not. But, Falk, go out there and fucking sling the ball. Throw it to Robbie Anderson more. Gase, let the guy sling it because we let it go in the fourth quarter and he had a couple nice tosses.
Vic, I'm sending it over to you in a second because I know you're itching to comment on this.
Yeah, Vic, relax over there.
Just to talk about Adam Gase for a minute because everybody's so high on him. Quarterback whisperer, unbelievable offensive coach. I sat there at Monday Night Football watching him continuously let his quarterbacks that have gotten no reps because Siemian and Falk had no time to prepare for this, continuously get delay of games. Continuously. They must have had 7 delay of games. Gase, call a timeout. The reason why the Jets had so much trouble is because the Browns would punt to the 10. The Jets would get a delay of game penalty. They'd be on the 5, first and 15. And what are you supposed to do? Falk, in his first NFL game, spent the entire game inside the 5. You can't do anything. And at some point, that's on your coach.
No one was in front of Myles Garrett either.
No one. Yeah, sure. And your defense was...
No.
But their defense played well. The O-line is terrible. But all of this, the coach, there's got to be some heat on Gase.
Victor. I would say that you tell Luke Falk, go out there and do exactly what you did Monday night. He was 17 of 21, almost 200 yards, no turnovers. There were a few drops out there that I can't even explain. I think the Browns' defense is very underrated. And, I mean, look, you let up 3 points. You got Myles Garrett up front. You got a bunch of guys that can create a lot of havoc between the tackles and in the trenches. I think that was a great moment for him. It was Monday Night Football. I think it was great that he was at home first to get those reps in. I think the first drive, they handed it off literally six yep. times in a row to Le'Veon Bell. Then he made one throw on third down and just sort of sailed over him. But look, you're thank God it's a regular Sunday 1 p.m. game. I think if this was the Monday night game,
yeah, we'd be fucked.
Like in New England, I think Luke Falk would literally be crapping his pants. But, you know, there's another guy in the NFL who just stepped into a situation like this, also from Washington State, by the name of Gardner Minshew II.
Oh.
Maybe he's giving him a call this week. Maybe he's saying, hey, how'd you do it? How'd you step in? What can I do? You know, Nick Foles. Like, I'm not saying Sam Darnold's Nick Foles, but you're replacing a guy that everybody was looking forward to seeing, everybody wanted to see. Just to clarify before, the Drew Brees thing, I went a little over my head. It said he's a Salute to Service Award recipient, or I believe it was a nominee.
He likes the Army.
He's gone overseas to do a lot of
fuck you,
these overseas tours. It's called the USO Overseas Tour. He and his wife, the kids, they all went.
So you were wrong.
I was wrong, but he gives back, and here's actually the tip.
Vic's like, you know, I bring this up all the time. Drew Brees is a Navy SEAL. How many people do you think
he was not a Navy SEAL?
He met the Navy SEAL.
That his grandfather was actually in World War II. He's on the Board of Trustees of the World War II Museum. He shows a lot of support to the military and the SEALs, and I just want to throw that out there. For some reason, I just thought that meant he was
so he's a patriot.
He's a
Navy
SEAL. He's a patriot. He's a patriot.
His family
was a patriot. He gives back.
He loves this country.
Gives back to the community. Loves this country. And for some reason, I just thought that meant that he had served at some point in time. Apparently, he's just gone over to overseas.
Can I throw in the quick Gardner Minshew plug? I think he's out of the NFL at this point. He has a lucrative career in porn, apparently.
Well, I hope he's not telling Luke, hey, just grow a mustache.
Maybe the
two of us can do this together.
Grow a mustache and get the fuck out of here.
We'll be the guys that replace starting quarterbacks, and we're both from Washington State.
We are Minshew's men.
Maybe it's a secret business plan of like quarterbacks getting injured, stepping in, and then performing in porn.
Oh, well. Sounds lucrative. One thing about Minshew, though, there's not going to be – that conversation between Minshew and Falk is very different. Minshew has a defense that just played the – a better defense that played the Texans, and Falk has a worse defense that is playing the Patriots. So I'm just saying Luke Falk is fucked.
Well, they still both don't have wins. So
Minshew looked good, though.
Look, for this week, yes, he's probably screwed it to Pats. But I think, you know, you have time. You got a week. You got a week to learn, get rested.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
And then they'll have the bye week, and then you get Darnold back anyway. So if I'm them, I'm saying, look, don't go crazy.
Really, it's a soft week five.
Right. It is.
Everyone.
So, look, and if Darnold's not back, then he gets the extra 2 weeks, and this is a great learning experience going against one of the best teams of all time, one of the best coaches.
From one of the youngest quarterbacks in the league to one of the oldest, the end of an era, Eli Manning finally benched for Daniel Jones, naming him the starter. Was this the right move? You want me to take this first?
Send it to Vic. Give Vic first look.
Victor.
Look,
this is the right move?
This is the right move, and I think it just mainly comes back to the last 2 years. Giants fans, before they ever saw Saquon Barkley take a snap in a G-men uniform, were saying, we should have drafted Darnold. We should have drafted Darnold. We needed a franchise quarterback. Eli Manning's over the hill. We're done with this guy. He can't throw it. Can't hit the broadside of a barn. There were so many people calling for Eli Manning's head to be on a spit and literally at midfield at MetLife Stadium, if you will. I would almost think of it like a gladiators type situation. That's really what it felt like. People did not like Eli Manning. Let's be honest. He's at the end of a long, long, long career. He's done a lot of great things for this franchise, but I think you got a guy like Daniel Jones, and with all the media, the who is this guy, or Baker Mayfield's comment, whatever, you know, it's time. I think New York needs this. Now, with Saquon, you pair a rookie quarterback. Look, third game in, I think people were expecting this. I just think it was going to come a little bit later into the year, and maybe if they magically were somehow 2-0 or 1-1, maybe this wouldn't happen, but when you're 0-2, it's looking bleak. You know, you know you're not winning the division because the Cowboys are. I think it is the right move. maybe a little early, but it's probably the right move overall.
They needed someone to blame, though. Look, I'm all for, I think Daniel Jones, I mean, he looks like a stud. Danny Dimes, that's what we're calling him, because that guy, I mean, he can really
throw.
Well,
I need to see some dimes first.
Absolutely. The biggest thing is that the Giants don't have anyone to throw to.
That's what
there, I was there, say. There is no receiving core, and I think that this is a, yes, Eli Manning, over the hill. He can't throw more than 50 yards. Statistically, he has the shortest arm in football. He loves – they do all those checkdowns because his arm is just not the same. I think that if he had a different receiving core, they could have been decent. But given how – given their lack of receivers, I think that this is definitely a bad O-line. Daniel Jones can also move a little in the pocket. He's younger. I think that this was the right move. The Giants are going nowhere this year. You might as well give him 14 games of NFL experience and come back next year and hope to make a run for the playoffs. I think that this was definitely the right move and the right time.
I think it's the right move. I'm a little skeptical on the timing. I mean, it's week three. Eli, obviously disappointed. I just think there is something to be said for a guy out of Duke. Probably wasn't supposed to be the sixth pick. Just give him some time to learn the playbook, learn the NFL. There is something to be said for that. And as you alluded to, the wide receiving core, I mean, Sterling Shepard, concussion. Cody Latimer, concussion. Corey Coleman, IR. Golden Tate, suspended. I don't know who he's throwing it to. How many times can you throw Evan Engram the ball? I think maybe letting the season play out a little bit. Maybe week six you throw him in there. But then again, this Bucs defense is not great. So it might not be the worst team to throw him in against, but... I just think there's not...
The Bucs D looked good last week. But, I'm not saying that they're not great.
Actually, everyone looks good against Cam Newton these days. That's, I mean, true. He looks ass.
Yeah, he does look
but, good. But I don't know. I think it might be a little early, and it's also not the best look. Optics. It's not the best look for what the Giants are doing to Eli. I mean, let Eli... like
we did that last year.
I know.
Eli, here's the deal.
But now you have a guy who's you're starting... Your franchise quarterback is two games into his career.
We've been talking about this. We've been talking about this for so long. And at some point, Eli Manning needed to be a man himself and retire. This didn't have to happen this way. Last year, he had nothing left in the tank. He didn't have anything left. There was a video. I spoke about it on an earlier podcast. He throws the ball 50 yards downfield max. That is not even a high school quarterback. He can't throw the ball downfield anymore. And this is a downfield game. It's play action to Saquon Barkley. Bomb it to Odell Beckham. And the Giants could have done something last year. Instead, Odell Beckham leaves. Eli still won't retire. And now you have no choice.
I just don't see rush.
He's not Kobe Bryant. He doesn't need a farewell tour. Eli Manning is great, and I think that leads perfectly into the next couple of questions, which is your favorite Eli Manning moment, and will he make the Hall of Fame? Jesus. Eli Manning, at one point, he's down in the fourth quarter, you know he's winning a game. He had that element of Tom Brady in him, where he was so, so clutch. Two Super Bowls, of course he's making the Hall of Fame. I don't even think it's a question. He's a first ballot.
I agree.
And the sooner he gets out of the leagues, the sooner he can go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a shoe, and I remember, I don't know, maybe it was a couple years ago when he started to be on this decline. And I don't know who said it. It may have been like public. It may have been just one of my freaking stupid ass friends. Just like, yeah, like this guy's not even a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Fuck you, man.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, if you get two rings.
That sounds like a Jets fan.
Two rings and the context of the rings. You have the first one where literally everybody and their mother is expecting them to roll over and take one in the ass to an undefeated 18-0 Patriots game. But not. we were watching that game up in Connecticut, actually. Great spread that day.
Oh, CT,
we were in high school. And look, they win this game. I'll never forget these refs not blowing that. The David Tyree catch should have never happened because it should have been blown dead. It was a sack. The ref said, I missed the call. I'm getting a little bitter here. The point is, they won that game. They had a crazy, it was actually really low scoring.
We were cheering for the Giants. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I was half cheering, half like, I wanted to see an undefeated season. We're never going to see it again since the 72 Dolphins. My favorite moment actually comes in the next Super Bowl where they've got to drive the distance and they're on their own 10, I think. He throws, I think, one of the greatest passes I've ever seen to Mario Manningham on the sideline. Manningham is literally...
That guy admits.
Dude, he has half a foot of a window to land inbounds with the 2 feet. I guess it was more of a catch, but where Eli put the ball, it was just like, oh my goodness. Like, the Giants are winning this game. they're going to beat the Patriots again, 4 years apart, 2 Super Bowls in 5 years.
Why don't you throw that video up on the gram?
I would love to. It's a great clip. But for me, that was my favorite moment. The other last little nugget favorite moment I have is when him and Odell recreated the dancing with Patrick Swayze and Dirty Dancing when they did the commercial for the Super Bowl last year.
Was that Head and Shoulders?
I don't know.
He had a stint on Head and Shoulders.
I don't know what it was. It was a great moment after all that negative attention Eli was getting, like he's done.
I mean, the best Eli moment is obviously to Tyree, but I also love Eli's first moment in the league, saying he's not going to San Diego. I like to think that worked out for
and
both
there's
teams.
That picture of him holding
honestly,
up
Philip Rivers.
He's holding up the jersey on the podium, and it's I don't even know if you can call it like a smug look at it. Like it's like the tiniest crack of a smile. Like you just got drafted number one overall to the San Diego Chargers.
I just think that deal worked out for both teams, both franchises. Philip Rivers is an absolute stud too. I mean, there have been so many funny Eli memories as well, but. Hall of Fame for sure. You bring two rings against Tom Brady. Like, what are you saying? The guy, easily a Hall of Famer. And I hate that some Giants fans are now throwing him under the bus, because if the Jets had a guy like that, we'd kiss the ground he walked on. I mean, that's because we're white collar. We're blue collar. White collar, blue collar.
We're not throwing him under the bus. It's just time to move on. The Giants have been subpar for a very long time. Moving on, let's talk about ESPN Week 3 power rankings. Let's go through the list. We'll go one by one. I want to know who's too high and who's too low. Victor, beginning with you. Who's high, who's a little too high and who's a little too low?
I just, for me, the too high is honestly, I think it's just it's the Niners. I don't know what we really got from those two wins yet. One was against a Bucs team. The other was against... Why am I blanking?
Oh, Bengals.
The Bengals. And the Bengals, we know, like, everyone's saying their defense is horrible. Look, you got to beat who's on your schedule. I agree with that. But I just don't know what we have. And I think there's something to be said of the fact that there's 5 1-1 teams already ahead of them. I'd say you'd put the Bears before them because they're a strong 1-1. I just think they're a bit too high for me.
To me, it's the Saints. I mean, Drew Brees going down. I know this. The power rankings are more of like a recap rather than a forecast, but you lose Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater looked like trash, but we did hear that they're going to do the dual quarterback with Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater, but I just haven't seen enough. I think the Saints at 9 ahead of the Vikings. I mean, I still like the Vikings if they get back to that week one game plan. I like the Texans. They should be better than 12. Niners, although you don't love them at 2-0, I still think like Garoppolo's balling out. I don't know. I think the Saints 1-1 at 9 is a little high for me.
I think that the Tennessee Titans are far better than 18. I think that they have a really great defense. They have an unbelievable running back in Derrick Henry. Mariota looks pretty good this year. And I think that Tennessee is just a very, very difficult place to play. I definitely see them making the playoffs. And at 1-1, there are a lot of teams above them that I just don't think are necessarily better than them. So I definitely think that they should move up. Who would I move down? I think that the Seattle Seahawks have gotten incredibly lucky. I don't think that they should at all be 7. Game 1, you barely beat a Bengals team at home. And game 2, big whoop, you beat the Steelers with no Ben Roethlisberger by 2. I don't think that they are a good 2-0 team at all. I'm actually shocked at how bad their defense has looked, considering we've been talking about Jadeveon Clowney and how good that defense should be. I think that the Seattle Seahawks, we should pump the brakes. I think that they are too high. Who do you guys think are the top 5 teams in the league in order?
I think, I would have Pats at 1. I'd actually slip in the Rams before the Chiefs, just because I think the Chiefs have been giving up a bit too many points. I mean, they gave up 26, to a Jaguars team that, you know, barely was able to score against the Texans last week. I go Pats 1, Rams 2, Cowboys 3. I'm actually going to throw the Packers at 4, and then I think I'd move the Chiefs back to 5.
Wow. Jack, you.
I have the same five as the ESPN Power Rankings, but in a different order. I like the Pats. I like the Rams. I really like this Ravens team. I like the Chiefs, and then I like the Cowboys. I this Ravens team, I mean, Lamar Jackson is for real. And this Ravens D has always, you know, has always been stout. I like what they're doing. Minimal turnovers, you know, time of possession. I think ground and pound, baby.
I agree. I think it's unanimous. Pats one. The Chiefs don't lose games, so to me, they're two. If you're losing, Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback in the league where I feel similarly to Tom Brady, where no lead is too much. Mahomes just comes back, so they're two. I like the Rams at three, and I would just swap Dallas and the Ravens. I like the Ravens at four and Dallas at five because Dallas also has not played anyone good yet, and we may need to pump the brakes on them.
Didn't they struggle a little bit?
They definitely didn't struggle. They struggled for like a quarter.
Yeah. Vic, what was that stat? We were like, they didn't have a first down or something? Or was that
– No.
Was that a fuck up on there?
It might have been a red zone Scott Hansen screw up. None of you guys like the Packers?
I like the Packers a lot.
I just can't trust it right now.
No, I love the Packers because this is seemingly the best defense they've had, like possibly in the Aaron Rodgers era. Like right. They are relying on their defense, which is so crazy. Their offense needs to come around. I have not seen enough from their offense though. They don't look like the same Packers offense. The deep balls, I haven't seen the same thing. And I know that Minnesota's a great defense. They didn't score 1 point after the first quarter. They should not have won that game. They've now been in two stalemates. They won 10-3 and 21-16. Yeah. So the offense clearly is having some problems. And so I just don't know.
I think the big, just to touch on that, the big issue with this Packers team offense-wise is they don't have that Randall Cobb or, fiddle. They have Devontae Adams, and we're waiting for Geronimo Allison.
We are waiting for the breakout of Geronimo Allison.
Of Vontaze Scalding.
Valdez Scantling. Say that three times
I think
fast.
That's Rodgers. He loves that kid.
But he didn't get any love last week. And look, he's got Jimmy Graham. I think they can get there. I think it's almost like a collective six. I didn't throw the Ravens in there only because I need to see Lamar Jackson keep doing the amazing things that he is doing.
I'm sold. I like him.
I'm sold, too. Let's talk about some key matchups, spread pick'ems from this week, beginning with Falcons at the Colts. The Colts are a -1.5-point favorite. Vic, beginning with who you got?
I will take the Colts. I think the Eagles last week against the Falcons, you lose Alshon Jeffrey. And you lose DeSean Jackson, one had a groin injury, one had a hamstring, I think, was the other issue. You know, I'm always so down on the Falcons, and that's mainly because I just can't stand Dan Quinn. But I think the Colts getting that win last week on the road in Tennessee was a huge lift for the morale, huge boost. I think Jacoby Brissett, this will be his first home game. I think the crowd's going to be going absolutely bonkers for this guy. I'd say you take the Colts, take him with confidence.
I like the Falcons. Julio Jones went out there and proved why he's the best receiver in the game. That was a huge win against the Eagles. I just think after that week one dud, I just can't go against Matt Ryan, Julio Jones in favor of Jacoby Brissett. I'm just not at that point yet. I say take the Falcons and take them to win.
I want the Falcons to win so badly. This is actually such a tough game.
It's a really good game.
Yeah, but when I measure it, the Colts defense is better than the Falcons defense, but the Falcons defense is better than I thought the Falcons defense would be. I know that there were some injuries in that Eagles game, but they really gave Carson Wentz a tough time.
They knocked him out for a bit.
And the Falcons offense, I mean, I don't have to sell you on how much better that offense is than the Colts offense. Falcons O-line is not great. I think that the Falcons find a way to win because they need to win this game. They need to win this game. Next, Ravens at Chiefs. Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite. What an interesting game this one is. Vic.
I mean, I just said I want to see more out of Lamar Jackson. I think we will. He can carry them. This is going to be a good old-fashioned shootout. I don't even know what the total is. You could tell me it was 60, and I'd say take it, even as good as that Ravens defense is. I just think Lamar Jackson will be able to pick apart a Chiefs defense that is just, look, it's not where it used to be. The last couple of years, they've been very offense heavy, and rightfully so. You Patty Mahomes. I just think 6.5 is giving no respect to the Ravens.
53.5, by the way.
53.5. It's probably the highest of the week. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. You got to give Lamar Jackson respect. I know you had the lowly Dolphins, who look like a college team out there, and then you played they played Arizona. But look, Arizona's been playing in their two games. They played teams tough. Kyler Murray's tough to figure out. I think Lamar Jackson running for 120 yards last week was really impressive after he didn't run at all in the first week. I just think 6.5, I'd love that to be like 4.5 or 4, but good for the bettors at home. Take that +6.5.
I agree, and Vic, good call. That's the only line that's over 50, the only total. I think this Ravens team has like the perfect game plan to kind of thwart that high-flying offense. It's hold the ball, run the ball. Lamar Jackson, he takes time off the clock, and he's airing it out a bit. I don't know. I think 6.5 is a bit much. Not totally sold on Mecole Hardman and Robinson. You don't have Hill out there.
Watkins had a bit of a dud last week.
Yeah, I'm not a Sammy Watkins guy. I'm sorry. I'm just not sold that you could win against a really good team with him as your number one wide receiver. Yes, there's Travis Kelce, but I think the Chiefs are going to win, but 6.5 is a bit much.
Watkins struggled last week, and the Raiders were up 10-0 in the middle of the first quarter, and the Chiefs won 28-10. So that defense, I'm not saying that the Raiders are any great offense, but that is still a capable defense. And 6.5 is the perfect number for the Chiefs to cover, in my opinion. I think it's a very high-scoring game. I have all the respect in the world for the Ravens. I think that they win the division. I think they're a great team. But the Chiefs at home in a game where anybody is questioning if they can blow them out, I think that they win by 10 points.
Do you think it matters if, because Damien Williams hasn't practiced this week, and neither has LeSean McCoy, so insert Darwin Thompson. I don't know if that sways you any more or less.
It's the O-line, and it's Patrick Mahomes. It's very similar to Brady for me. Whoever's out there, he's going to put you in a position to succeed. That's how I feel about the Chiefs, kind of next man up. Damien Williams kind of came out of nowhere, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how good he would be on any other team, but the O-line seems to find a way to...
They always have these random guys. Spencer Ware, Charkandrick West.
Look, right, this is Andy Reid we're talking about.
I know, but McCoy's...
Andy Reid will find guys, and he'll get them out there.
Next on the sheet, Texans at the Chargers. Chargers are a 3.5-point favorite. I need to steal this one first. Bet the fucking house on the Texans. Ditch the points. This is not even, I don't even think that this is a question. This is giving so much respect to a Chargers team that has really not looked good this year. They have no kicker. Their kicker last week missed 3 field goals inside of 30 yards.
He was the punter.
Yeah, exactly. They have no kicker. If you lose to the Lions, I'm sorry. Just the Texans need this win. They need every win. I think they are so much better offensively and defensively, and I can't believe that there's a hook on the 3.5.
I think the only reason this is there is because of last week's effort. I mean, they only beat the Jaguars by 1, and the Jags decided to go for it for a 2-point conversion for the win. Leonard Fournette gets stopped short of the goal line, a miraculous stop. I mean, pure inches away from breaking the plane, Leonard Fournette was, and possibly winning that game. I think that's really the only thing that's happening here. And, you know, the Jaguars have an excellent, excellent defense, top 5, and I think that's all what happened, is that the Texans sort of ran into that. I think they're still figuring out the running back situation between Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde. Bill O'Brien's got to get that figured out. But you're right. I mean, the Chargers, you barely beat a Colts team that has Jacoby Brissett thrown in there 2 weeks after Andrew Luck retires. Maybe it was even a week. They went in overtime at home. And then last week, I mean, yeah, we did not see anything. The Lions dismantled them in the waning seconds. The secondary wasn't able to stop Kenny Galladay. I don't know how you're going to do that with DeAndre Hopkins. You got weapons like Will Fuller, Kenny Stills. I think this is solely attributable to last week's effort in the Texans. Maybe if they won by 10 against the Jags, it would be like a pick 'em. But that's what Vegas sees. I think you go Texans +3.5.
I like the Texans too. What else is new? Keenan Allen hurt, not practicing. Dignity Health Sports Park, really not a tough place to play. It's not going to be much of a home field advantage for the Chargers. They're banged up. That defense is banged up. This Texans offense is really nice too. I mean, Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, not the worst 1-2 punch.
I think it's one of the better ones you can have.
Not a bad 1-2 punch. I think the key for the Texans is protecting Deshaun Watson. they just allow too many hits on the guy. He's a bit fragile, and he's awesome. So protect that man, and I say take the Texans.
And
confidence.
They were seconds away from beating the Saints with Drew Brees. No, like, let's not forget this. And Texans could easily be 2-0 with a great road victory to start off the season.
And you made a good point. Their wide receiving core is nice. Kenny Stills is nice.
Hopkins
I like that. That
clear
was a good
cut number one.
And the Saints could easily be fucked, by the way.
Yeah, imagine that.
Imagine no Brees 0-2. Your season's complete.
Will Lutz.
Sunday night is an absolute gem. Rams -3 at the Browns. Again, I'll steal this because I'm so passionate. Pound the Rams into the ground. This Browns team has not shown me anything. They lost week one to a good Tennessee team, but with all of this hoopla that the Browns are amazing, they never should have gotten blown out. And if they didn't blow out the Jets the way that they did, it would be embarrassing. The Jets looked like the worst team in football last week. They were like just outmatched everywhere. I understand that the Browns defense is good. The Rams O-line is better. The Rams D-line is better. And I think that the Rams win easily.
Yeah, I mean, this game is going to hinge on the play of Jared Goff on the road, who you talk about splits. I mean, there's something wrong with him outside of the city of Los Angeles. I don't understand what it is. We all remember when they went to play the Bears last year in the regular season and just got beat. You know, this is a team that did go to the Super Bowl, and they've proven that they can win on the road. But there's something about Goff. I mean, last week, on the road the first week, he doesn't have one touchdown. Last week, two in the air, one on the ground. I'm a big Jared Goff supporter. I think the Rams will cover this -3. However, he will really need to step up, and I'm really curious to see how much they will use Todd Gurley. They've been doing a lot of this. It's Malcolm Brown. It's him. It's Daryl Henderson. Who's the guy? I know they're trying to limit the hits on Gurley. They're not using him like a joystick, like the way they used to use him in 2017, 2018. Throw him out there, run it 30 times a game. But I'm just really curious. I think they get it done. I'm just not sure if it's going to be with Gurley or if it's going to be with Goff. But, you know, you're right, Ben. The Browns, what have we seen beating a lowly Jets team and getting absolutely embarrassed at home by the Titans?
I don't care who the Rams throw out there as the running back. They're really good. And this Browns team just took a dump all over the Jets. Not too impressive. Last time the Browns were in Cleveland, they got dismantled by the Titans. I think I like the Rams. I mean, I think the Goff has a bit of an issue outside of L.A., but I think McVay's going to put them in a great position. And I think Goff comes to play. He's got Cooper Kupp now at 100%. He was an absolute horse last weekend. And the Browns will be without their tight end, who just broke his wrist. I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, you get to now throw the ball to Landry and OBJ a little more, but I just didn't see much from even Baker. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not too impressed by this Browns team yet. I think they're still young. They're still raw. But this Rams team, this is the year.
What did you say that the Browns did to the Jets, by the way?
Dismantled?
The other word you used.
Horsed?
Nope.
Crushed?
Nope.
Took a dump on.
Took a dump on. You know who else took a dump on someone this week? I took an absolute massive dump on the face of Victor Weberman in fantasy this week. I won 181 to 110 and completely took a dump all over you.
Vic, I hate to be Mythbusters here, but dude, you're not showing this fantasy guru that you claim to be. I mean, you got my boy with no job pulling it down. Getting that face right under his asshole, and he's just going to town on your nose.
I'm not going to make excuses, but I was high on the Mitch Trubisky second-year breakout. That hasn't happened.
Yeah,
he's now done
last year
as my second quarterback. Year. We're getting rid of him. I'm not going to tell you guys who I'm picking up. I'm picking up somebody new.
I already picked him up.
Watson had a bit of an off game. Hopkins didn't make the end zone. Chris Carson fumbled. Look, I've got guys. You're going to see him. I'm also dealing with a Hunter Henry injury. Somebody give me a freaking break, okay?
By the way, you want Vance McDonald? He's my second tight end.
Yeah, please, fork him over.
In case anybody's wondering, I am in first.
You are in first?
I am 2-0. I lead the league in points. I'm averaging 180 points a week, and my team is incredible.
Look, it's a long season, folks, and you will see. You will see Slick's team getting into the big dance. Only 4 out of 8 teams are going to make it in this league. Very competitive, very hot. 2 QB league. There's a lot of strategy that goes into these.
I want to know one player on each of our teams that we love this week that if the listeners at home have in their lineup, they must play and be very excited about them. This is a fantasy game changer this week. Jack, who do you love on your team this week?
Well, considering this is a 2QB league and I only have one, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage. I lost Drew Brees last week, but I love George Kittle. I love him against this Pittsburgh defense. I love him at home. I love him for breakfast. I love him for lunch. I love him for dinner. George Kittle, love him. He's Garoppolo's favorite target.
Target.
Haven't seen enough from this Pittsburgh defense yet. Minkah Fitzpatrick, it's just his first game in Pittsburgh. I like George Kittle. He's an absolute beast. I like him a lot.
Vic, who you got?
I'm going to love my number one guy that I'm taking all the way. DeAndre Hopkins. Look, there's still no Derwin James as far as I know in that Chargers secondary.
You just picked the number one wide receiver in football.
And we're yet to see a wild game. Look, I think he's due for a crazy breakout. Not that he hasn't been playing well so far. He obviously gets the double-digit targets every single week. I think they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder after being the underdog here. You barely beat the Jags at home. You've lost to the Saints. This is the time for Hopkins, for Watson to let it fly, which is also great for me because I've got the combo of Watson-Hopkins. So for me, it's
Wopkins.
Those... Wopkins. I'm gonna start referring to him. I may make a T-shirt, start a Hopson. Little company. But look, I really think they're just going to let that fly. Whoa, hop. Whoa, hop, baby.
Whoa, hop.
I like that.
I am all fucking in on Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson at the Chiefs this week. I think that it's very high scoring. I said before that I think that the Chiefs win, but that doesn't stop Lamar Jackson from having three passing touchdowns and at least one rushing touchdown. This guy is an absolute monster. So obviously, if you have him, definitely be very enthusiastic about his play this week. You're looking at me, Jack. There's something. You don't agree?
I just wish I had Lamar Jackson. I have Jameis Winston as my one and only quarterback.
Well, I have Cam Newton, too, so he's going to need to take a seat.
I have the whole Buccaneers roster. I'm happy I have Godwin, but I also have Mike Evans, who's literally been...
I think he's actually due for a break. I mean, they're playing the Giants.
I know, that's right.
If I can give one guy that's not on my roster, but is in my roster in another league, it's Mike Evans.
Or Godwin.
This is a great place for the Bucs. An absolute get-right spot. Mike Evans, I see you throw him out there. A lot of the time you draft these wide receivers so high, and you're like, why aren't they scoring at least a touchdown, 100 yards every game?
He's been hurt, though.
Right, he's been hurt, but it can't happen. I think you just need to have patience.
Deploy him with confidence.
Yeah, deploy with confidence. This is the number one guy, and it's a guy that has got, I think he's had 1,000 receiving yards in each of his first five seasons.
One of the only guys.
So there's one guy that's not on my team, on my team in another league. I love Mike Evans.
How many leagues are you a part of?
How many leagues are you losing this year?
I'm part of, what does that mean, am I losing?
Well,
no, it's the same question.
Yeah.
How many do I have?
You're going to lose four?
I'm in four. One of them's with you. I'm hoping that we don't lose. And one of them's with Jack. So, guys, one of us has got to win.
Wait, that league's with me.
Get out of here. God, you're fucked. Moving on to Survivor. For those of you that are in our Survivor pool and are still alive, quick update, 237 surviving entries. 183 people picked the Pats last week. Obviously a shoo-in. But just a reminder, you use a team once, you cannot use them again. So, yes, it was a great way to advance, but not that risky. It could have been a bit of a risk taker. Only 18 people picked the Ravens. The Ravens, even though it ended up being kind of close, should have been a shoo-in against the Cardinals. So just a reminder that when you're going through making your picks, pick a team you think has a great chance of winning, but I wouldn't always use the best team on the board because you could run into a situation where you need to take the Patriots.
Basically, pick against the Dolphins every single week. And, your whole theory of if you're at home, you get an extra 3 points. Dallas this week is a 21.5 point favorite at home against the Dolphins. I don't think they're going to take them lightly. But look, it seems like that's the easy way out for survivor pools this year.
Yeah, and
their one win, everyone's going to be bounced out.
Moving on, I think we should each pick one survivor entry that we think is a shoo-in. I think that it is, to your point, a great week to pick Dallas. I'm not that high on Dallas. I think they're good. I don't think that they're great. This is the easiest starting schedule in football, but they will not lose to the Dolphins. There's no chance.
Yeah.
None.
No, I don't think so either. Just to mix it up a little, I won't take the next highest favorite, or I think even more. I think the Pats are somehow favored by 23 points at home against the Jets. I mean, it feels like a freaking college football spread out here.
Insane.
So if you've got them, if you didn't use the Pats last week against the Dolphins, maybe now's your chance. Sadly, as a Jets fan, I'll be rooting for the greatest upset of all time. It probably will not happen. So if you didn't use the Pats against the Dolphins, they've got good luck again against the AFC East. So I'd take them this time.
I like the Vikings. Vikings at home to the Raiders. I think I think the Vikings bounce back. Thank you, Ben. I didn't have such a good pick week one where I was bounced by the Raiders, so I'm trying to get revenge here. I took the Broncos, who lost. My sleeper pick, I got to go. You know, it's a Bills town, Bills Mafia. I like them at home to the Bengals. It's going to be a rowdy bunch out there. Tough place to play. A lot of broken tables.
I think the Bills win that handedly.
Yeah, no, I like that.
I think that's a good pick, too, because you don't really want to take the Bills again.
If anybody wants to give me their entry, I will buy it off of them at 150% of your entry fee.
Mm, which is still
free.
A whopping nil bucks.
Still free. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, please follow us on Instagram at The Schvitz. Please follow our private Facebook group called The Schvitzers. I know some of you were waiting to be accepted. It's a very exclusive club, but everybody has been added over the last week, so sorry about that.
The intern got to that?
Yeah, the intern got to that. Jeez. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Super important, and we would be really appreciative. If there's something from this episode that you loved, please let us know. If there's something that you hated, please keep it to yourself. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at V Web.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
See you folks next week. Thanks so much.